This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca.
I'm Paul.
And Paul is my co-host. Co-host, not guest host. I'd like to welcome Anne Mann to this Saturday Magazine. Good morning, Anne. How are you today?
Good. Glad to be with you.
It's a pleasure. And I want to give, if I may, a little trigger warning to some listeners. The subject that we're talking about is historical child sexual abuse. And please don't stay listening if this is going to concern you or upset you or trigger. The Anglican Pedophile Network in the area of Newcastle, and you've written a book, Anne, called Crimes of the Cross. And can I just say thank you, Anne, as a survivor myself of Anglican historical child sex abuse, but in Melbourne, thank you for writing this and thank you for telling the story. And in particular, you know, I want to thank Steve Smith, who's stood up to be counted and, you know, has helped you enormously with this book. So thank you for writing it.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I'm both very sorry to hear that you also were a victim of child sexual abuse of Anglicans. But, of course, it was ubiquitous right through the church.
Yeah.
And as you say, Steve Smith, he has been so generous and so brave in putting his story out there for other people to find themselves in his story. So, yeah, he's a remarkable human being.
Yeah, and it's lucky. And it's so important, and thank you, Steve, and thank you, Anne. It's so important. It's really challenging. It's very distressing to hear these stories. But if we don't hear them and we can't read about them, then the community makes an assumption about how often this is happening and how institutions so often look the other way or are complicit in it.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on this, Anne? Not just as an author, but as a person. Were you shocked by this?
Totally.
Yeah?
Totally. I didn't realise how common it was. I didn't realise how much of it there was. I was actually doing a book on the Royal Commission. I've been interested in child sexual abuse for a long time, and I started writing on the Catholic Church in 2013 in both Ballarat and Melbourne.
Mm.
But then I decided to do something on the Royal Commission as a whole. But as soon as, and I was following lots of cases, but as soon as I saw the Newcastle case, I thought, this is the one, and to have one story where people could really understand not just what happened to survivors, which was simply dreadful, but the power structures which enabled that.
Yes.
And the power structures which protected the perpetrators within the church and how the perpetrators had actually penetrated the church. But, I didn't realise how frequent it was, and I didn't realise the, you know, if you'd said to me when I was a parent in the 1980s, I'm now 68, I wouldn't have known. So I think a lot of people are in that position.
You touched there, Anne, on, you know, the extent of the abuse, but it's not just about people or organisations looking the other way. They give sanctuary to criminals.
Correct.
They give sanctuary to abusers. They are
absolutely. They
are complicit in these crimes,
yes,
and they need to be held to account.
They do.
You know, when you talk about...
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Completely. That's what happened, and these people were sheltered and protected. In fact, one of the bishops who was himself abused, a later bishop from 2014 to 17, who was sort of outing the whole criminal network and what was going on, he called it like the Sopranos. He said it was a criminal racket, and there was a sense of entitlement to offence. And yes, they were sheltered, they were protected, and the many people were complicit. And or they went into kind of denial, and no matter what the evidence presented to them of the abuse, would find ways of excusing the behaviour. Another thing that happened in the church, in the Anglicans, which is also similar to the Catholics, was people would say, oh, why don't you just forgive them, as if it's just a personal, private issue of the priest and his God, and not actually a crime. And yet it's been a crime on the statute books for a long time. So they're also covering up has been a crime. But that was what was done by bishops, by senior clergy, by senior laity in governance roles, even falsifying resignations to allow a priest who's just raped a child to be able to be still in good standing with his bishop and get a job elsewhere. There were lawyers who were part of the laity who worked hard to get perpetrators off and succeeded. Or getting very light sentences. There were corrupt judges that I encountered. Honestly, it was a protectorate, and it's an extraordinary story with some brave people who fought against it. And at the centre of it, of course, was Steve Smith, this extraordinary man that I worked with for 5 years, really finding out his whole story, not just the abuse itself, because I don't like the attitude that sort of you just focus on the abuse. So I wanted to tell the story of his childhood before the abuse and then the aftermath and then his really his whole trajectory through life as he fought the church and bashed his head against the splendid brick walls of the cathedral up there, trying to get them to give justice to survivors and trying to get them to recognise the terrible harm that had been done.
It's a story of enormous courage and... I understand that. You know, you made a comparison with The Sopranos. The activities of the Anglican Church and its network in Newcastle and elsewhere, but in this story, this makes The Sopranos look like kindergarten teachers. You have the complicity of laity, of bishops, of lawyers, of judges.
Yes.
You know, and... You know, the reality is they saw nothing wrong with what they knew was happening. And for a church not just to be complicit, let me say a word which churches are very familiar with. It's called sanctuary. They gave sanctuary to child sex abusers, right?
Absolutely.
The school that I went to gave sanctuary to child sex abusers. They don't now. They don't now. I fully acknowledge they don't now. They've changed. But they gave sanctuary. Lawyers who defended the church, you know, judges who made judgments that I find challenging, laity that accepted this, and also everyday people who refused to believe this. And when you said it's the extent of this that shocked you.
Yes.
If you had one wish, Anne, to change, you know, what change would you bring about? We have compulsory reporting, right? We have legislation. We have all of this, all of these mechanisms to address this. But is there one thing that you would say needs to happen to try and stop this? Because it's still happening.
Yes. Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. I agree with everything you said. And you put it very eloquently. Look, I would like people to realise that this is everywhere. Mm. It's not over. Just because we had the Royal Commission, please do not think that this is over. In my book, I discuss a new lot of research about what are called powerful perpetrators, and all priests are powerful perpetrators. These are people who get to the top of an organisation and then they use that VIP status, their beyond reproach status, their halo effect, to abuse and then be protected by their status in that organisation. And I would like everybody to realise that in state of Victoria alone, there are 50,000 youth organisations, youth service organisations, where there could well be more powerful perpetrators operating. And so we have to have a sense of how common this is. We have to have a sense that we can must bear witness to what people have been through in an honest and courageous way, that is to listen to what their experiences are. And all of this has to be to direct our energies towards this never happening again. But at the moment, we've gone a considerable distance from the 70s, 80s, 90s, which is then the early 2000s, which is the historic period where most of the abuse happened in Newcastle. But I would just say, do not think it's over, because it isn't.
VIP, in a lot of ways, I think stands for variously installed pedophiles.
I agree. And that's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah. Look, Anne, this is an important book. Not everyone is going to want to read it. It's called Crimes of the Cross. I encourage people to search it out. I encourage people to speak out. And can I ask, can you pass on to Steve from me my thanks for telling his story, for standing up and having the courage to stand up against an institution that didn't just want to silence him, but was happy for him to be abused and for his childhood to be stolen. Thank him from me.
I will. Thank you so much for saying that. He'll really appreciate it. He was very excited that I was going on your radio program. He was very keen for me to do it. He'll be so delighted by your comments. And also, I'm honoured that you shared with me today that you're a fellow survivor of the Anglican Church.
Thanks so much, Anne. The podcast will be up probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yep.
We will send it to you. Please distribute it widely. And again, thank you for writing this, and thank you to Steve. And it actually makes a difference. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Paul. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.